We've just come through an amazing weekend of prophetic ministry, and if you were here, I trust you were blessed. And I think we'll have a couple of testimonies next Sunday. We'll do some special things. I just didn't want us to rush past it, though. Rush past the amazing weekend of God speaking to us and through us and about us. And I prepared a couple of pages. I just want to say thanks to Russell for just putting all the words together on, for each person, just those little sound bites and mailing them out to us. And I think there was over 20 some who got specific words just for them. So it was a lot of time that he spent doing it. And we sent out with it 7 pointers or thoughts to use with it. And I just remind you, for those of you who received it, you've seen this by email. But if you didn't, all the words that were shared and things that were spoken also were for all of us as a congregation. That God is just encouraging us, that He hears us, He sees us, He cares about us. And so if you got that email, I just encourage you to go through it. It's just simple stuff like listen to the recording, type it out, talk to one of the leaders about it, pray into it. You can go through it yourself, meet with a couple, make a good warfare concerning the words that were spoken. So I did that. Lori and I received a prophetic word, just like Grandma Gerda did today for little Nora, just speaking. I'm going to talk a little bit about what prophecy is, and my text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20, where Paul writing to them says, do not despise or don't hold with contempt prophecy. Don't despise prophecy. Test it and then hold on to that which is good. And so that's my message if I get to it. I want to encourage us to do that. But just as a practical example, we typed out our word, and it's actually amazing how much it ends up being when you type things out. You know, it's just a few moments at an altar or talking, sharing a prophetic message. And when you type it out, there's a lot involved. And so on that 7 steps, we said type it out, pray about it, underline it, go over it, ask God about it, pray into it. And I could talk about many, many prophecies that we've received over our lifetime, and even about this church and for this church and to this church. And these ones were very specific that John spoke, and it was to Lori and I, but it was to the church. Does that make sense? Much of it had to do with us as a body and who we are. And I'll just remind you, God has brought you so many key couples around you, even couples who haven't been able to pray for yet. And that's like the formation of a real team of leaders. And I feel like there's going to be an expansion in the house. Listen to this. There's going to be church planting in the future of this house. There's going to be missionaries sent in the future of this house. This is a nation's church. This is a nation's touching church. And if you haven't felt that already this morning, you weren't here. You have an international congregation already, and there's going to be more. He goes on. I'm just jumping around talking about surprises and growth spurts, and you'll have a second service. You'll have a church plant. You'll be given more sons and daughters. You lay hands on them. Let me jump down. This refers to all of us. There's going to be missionaries sent out, people being sent out. There's going to be finances, there's going to be funds. As the Lord says, I'm going to blow upon your people's works and businesses and situations. People who are faithful, people who are generous, people whose hearts understand the kingdom realities and kingdom principles. I'm going to increase them. I'm going to cause finances to flow. Going on and on and on and on and on and on. And many amazing specific words. And I just want to encourage you that if you received a word, do as we said, just listen to it, type it out, ask God, pray into it. And we'll be talking about some of these words that were shared for us as a church. And I just go back a few months ago when we went away as elders, actually long before that. If you're talking about church planting, that's what we are, a church plant. We came from church plants in South Africa. But as elders, we met this summer. We're talking about what are we going to do, plant a new church in the city to the future. We're going to have multiple services. How is God stirring our things? And so these prophetic words are just confirmation of those words. Amen? So we're praying into them. We're seeking God for them. We have a nation building, a nations touching church. There was one I wanted to just... Yeah, there's going to be a bridge that goes back and forth, and it's not an accident that God has brought you so many people from that place. He's talking about South Africa. The Lord says to you that your connection with South Africa is not over, but there's going to be a bridge, and there's going to be this going back and forth. So there's so many things being spoken of and so much happening. That's just the word that was shared to us. And then there was, as I said, 20-some that were spoken to individuals. But I'll just touch on one. One is this last one about the bridge back and forth with South Africa, and our connection there is not finished. And so this summer, when we were away, and even before that, but that's when it became real to us, actually it started in May when we were in South Africa. Lori and I, let me just take the time. In May, Lori and I were at the wedding of our daughter, and met with the churches and 3CI and a whole bunch of things going on. And Adrian and Antoinette are a young couple who are in leadership of that church. They came to meet with us. They asked if they could meet with Lori and I. They hadn't shared it with the church yet. They wanted to talk about their church plant down in Cape Town. They're going down. God's been working and speaking to them for a couple of years. And they felt God calling them down there. And they wanted to talk to us about practical things about church planting. And so my first advice, they wanted our advice. So my first advice is don't do it. You think that's funny, but it's true. Unless God's in it. So if I can't talk them out of it, then it's do it. But if, you know, they had a couple other things. If you do it, go with a team. And a couple of other things that we spoke with them. But it was really... made it alive to be sitting there with them. It's fresh. It's exciting. They are going to be sent out from the church in Pretoria down to Cape Town to plant another church. Our church is a church planting church. And so God put it in my heart through a couple of different things, and I don't want to take a long time to how do we help that church plant? How do we repay 3CI? How do we get involved with that church plant? Like, we are 10,000 miles away, but how can we personally be involved in Stellenbosch, Cape Town area of South Africa? How do we connect real with them? And I know money, you can always send money, and we talked about those things. Make a longer story short, when we came together as elders, we have decided, as God has led us and enabled us, that we will send Helen and Russell next year to spend, who knows, 3 months, 6 months, the rest of their life. No, that's not what we agreed to. To go and help that church plant. Helen and Russell have this amazing qualities, and as a couple, they have this gifting that we want to bless the church plant in Stellenbosch. And so we're saying, Lord, help us to do that. And so that's why I'm saying this bridge is not finished. You know, we haven't shared any of these things with the prophetic ministry that was going on. And it's confirmation to me and to us to pray into this. And it's going to take people. It's going to cost us. It's going to cost finance. It's going to take your businesses blessed and exploding to accomplish the things we want to do. You talk about a church plant. Talk about a second service. You talk about doing things for God. It takes amazing finances. It takes people. It takes a heart. It takes passion for the things of God. So I really enjoyed having John and Jan come and just blow wind into the sails of this church. Amen? They come and they spoke life into us. And so these are exciting times. We are trusting God for 2019 to be an amazing year. And then when we're standing here dedicating this little Nora today, and just the whole international flavor of Mylin and Robin and their family and your word this morning, folks, God has a big picture in mind of His church. And I could go back to the three last prophetic services that I was in, one in Grand Prairie, one in South Africa, one right here. And I can tell you that God has challenged us and is challenging not only us, with a much bigger picture than just having a nice little church service. And so one of the words that came was actually on Terry when we were down there was this whole idea that we have to prepare people, you, for something much bigger than just a church service. So as people are coming in the door, we have to put much expectation on people. This is just not a little group of people that we come together and we get happy and we get comfortable and we can pay our bills. And I thank God for the finances. We are a blessed church. We have blessing, but it's more than that. God brings all of those things together. He brings us together for a purpose that is much, much bigger than just a church service. Is that okay? You're all looking a little shocked here this morning or quiet or something. You're wondering who's next. That's my point. Like when God sends missionaries, when God says plant a church, when God says go to a second service, God says reach the nations, He's talking to us. All of us. And so if you've joined this church with the idea of just a nice, comfortable little group and you're really starting to enjoy just being together in a particular life group or with a certain elder and his wife, and don't be surprised when God shakes up our whole world. But it's always for good. It's always for His blessing. And I can tell you, this church is here today because of a prophetic word, not just a word, the word, but prophetic word speaking to us, a rhema word, a now word saying, go, do this. We exist because of it. And so why should we be surprised if God speaks to us? If God says you, and you, and you. And it's not talking about age. It's not talking about young or old. It's talking about a heart for the kingdom of God. And I don't want to re-preach John's messages over the weekend, but he talked about the anointing. He talked about the next generation releasing them. And he talked about riding above the storms. Amen? And all the prophetic words in between. And as I look over the audience, I just remember some of them. Some of the things that God spoke specifically to some of you. And so I just want to stir that up. I want to encourage you in that. Don't despise the prophecy. Don't hold with contempt prophecy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20. You remember that verse? Memorize it. Write it in your notes of your Bible. He says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, just back up for a second. He says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Gerda, I still love you. You. John, let that fire fall on you sitting over there. Robin, let it fall on you. Let on your grandchildren. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. We could spend our whole morning just on that. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. This is the NIV. ESV, do not despise prophecy. But test everything, hold on to the good, and avoid every kind of evil. Father, I pray this morning you bless your word. I thank you for what you've already spoken to us today. I thank you that you are ministering to your people. You are speaking, you are calling, you are drawing your people to yourself in this house. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. I had some amazing slides. They never made it across my Dropbox onto this computer in the church, so the Lord must have a purpose in it, that He didn't want me to be trapped. He wants me to be free. Hallelujah. In the book of Corinthians, chapter 12 and chapter 14, Paul writes many things about the gifts of the Spirit. And we heard about them this last weekend, talking about the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecies, prayer for healings, ministries. And I don't want to go back through those chapters, but I just want to encourage you that prophecy is for today. And it's a little different than the Old Testament, as we heard and as we've shared and spoken. The Old Testament, it was more foretelling, God telling the people what's coming, preparing them. In the New Testament, prophecy is more forthtelling, bringing forth the truth out of God's Word, bringing forth truth, specific truths to people's lives. And it'll always line up with His Word. It'll never go outside His Word. And there's a few tests, and I may not get to them later, the test of His Word and the test of reality and the test of it being fulfilled and test of time. But God still speaks to His people. And in Corinthians, he lays it out and he says there's a gift of prophecy. And the Bible talks about prophetic ministry, preaching prophetically, singing prophetically, which just means that there's an edge of God speaking through these things. And then there's the office of the prophet, Ephesians chapter 4. And I think John, from last week, we could, if we look at his life, if we look over the years of his life, we could say, you know, he's walking in something of that office of a prophet. Would you agree with me? And there's those who are, yeah, they have a prophetic edge to what they're saying, and that they're speaking God's word to people. And then there's the gift of prophecy, which is a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit to for any believer who has the Holy Ghost and fire in them, living in them. They can come and bring a prophetic word to anyone and to any situation. And there's a maturing that takes place in a Christian's life as they move through from, you know, being used in the gifts, some being prophetic in their ministry, and then that office of a prophet operating in that. And it's can be tested, it can be over time, there's seasons, and people mature and they grow. And so I just want to encourage you as fellow believers in this church that as we come through a weekend like this, God, we as elders have been praying for it. We've been fasting. We invited them on purpose with intention, and we're believing God to stir that prophetic, stir the gifts, stir a hunger for the spiritual things of God. Amen? That means you and me. It's not just a special guest. It's not just someone or a group of people. The ministry of the prophetic is for all of us. And I'm asking you to stir it up. I'm asking you to pray and ask God to give you words, to give you words of knowledge, words of wisdom, to give you prophecies, to give you a tongue and interpretation, to give you something of the spirituals, the gifts of the Spirit that He ministers. It's not us, it's Him, as Corinthians lays it out. But He uses you and me. So let me just move along. He says there's a gift of prophecy, but there's also an office of a prophet. But in chapter 14 of Corinthians, Paul says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. Eagerly desire. There has to be a desire on our side to say, God, use me in those gifts. Help me to bring a word that will be encouraging, that will bring comfort, that will bring something to the body of Christ, that will help someone. Help me to speak that into someone's life. He says, be eager. Then excel in those gifts that build up the church, verse 12. And it must be done for the strengthening of the church, verse 26. And be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, verse 39. So I've already talked a little bit about a prophet. If we look at a definition, is a person inspired to proclaim or to reveal the divine will or purpose of God. A proclaimer, an expounder of divine matters or concerns that could not ordinarily be known except by special revelation. That's the office of a prophet. But there's also prophecy, which is a noun which signifies the speaking forth of the mind and the counsel of God. It is the declaration of that which cannot be known by natural means. It is the forthtelling of the will of God, whether with reference to the past, the present, or the future. It's not fortune telling. It's not foretelling necessarily. It's bringing truth forth and bringing things to light and speaking about things that only God knows in the heart of God. So here's the simple English. The Holy Spirit expressing the thoughts and the desires of Christ through a human voice. Simply put. And I believe we experienced some of that last weekend. That's why I don't want to run past that. I want us to stir those gifts in one another, to believe God that He still speaks today. I'm telling you, I saw it on Friday night. I saw it on Saturday. I saw it on Sunday. When there was just the hope that God saw you, spoke something into your life. It touched the whole church. And I think it was PJ who said it at a prayer meeting or somewhere, that because we're quite a relational group of people, we know too much about each other, if I can put it that way, that when God spoke to one of you, we all got something. We all were like, okay, God's speaking. Amen? God's truth is in the house. His Spirit is here. When He speaks to one, it touches all of us. And that's what I love. And I'm saying, folks, we need to stir those gifts up and fan them into flame and encourage them in one another. Yes, in decency and order. Yes, I could talk long about how those gifts operate and how we mature in them and work in them and use them in the church. And we'll do that over time, and we do it already. But I just say, God speak. God speak. And He speaks through you and me. I read that verse last Friday night, the book of Acts, chapter 23, there, 13, where it just simply says that in Antioch, there were teachers and prophets. And they spoke and they said, separate Paul and Barnabas for the work of the ministry. And it didn't fall out of heaven. It wasn't lightning bolts. It was prophetic. It was lining it up with God's word. It was speaking to one another. So when we talk about, it seems right to us in the Holy Spirit to send Helen Russell to South Africa for a period of time to put that church in order, that's the Holy Spirit speaking. You guys are just too used to my voice. You think this is Leonard's voice. This is the voice of God. Hallelujah. A prophet is with honor except in his own house. No, but we believe God speaks through His people. It's the voice of God through a human instrument, through His people. And yes, we must test that. We must hold on to what is good. And I'll get to that in a minute. So what's the purpose of prophecy? Well, 1 Corinthians 14, he says it's edification. If you want to be used in the ministry of prophecy, here's some really good guidelines to begin with. If you're new at this, this prophecy, you know, when we talk about prophetic weekend, people get a little nervous because I don't know, they've seen all kinds of weird things and they've heard all kinds of weird things and all kinds of foolishness has gone on in the name of prophetic, and it's going on right now. You see it in the news all the time, the Christian news, the false prophets and the nonsense. But if you want to be used of God in the gifts, here's some good guidelines. Number one, it edifies. It builds up. Prophet's job is to build them up. Everybody should operate in this area and it will be okay. If every word that comes from us is building up, is encouraging, is the second one. It's part of that. Is building people's lives. We shouldn't have a problem. If it comes with condemnation, comes with judgment, comes with challenge, you know, condemning, I would challenge it. Not that God cannot speak strong words to us, but if you want to bring a word, Paul says, let it be edification. Let it be exhortation, which means comes from the idea of the Holy Spirit is our divine paraclete. He is our advocate. He is our advisor. He comes alongside. So the word can be strong, but it comes alongside and it exhorts. It gives advice. It gives help. It gives strength. And it falls in line with this building up of people. And comfort is the last one. It binds up and heals. It ministers. There's a sense that God is with us and knows our situation. He knows our circumstance. And I would say this last weekend, that was the feeling. That was the expression of the words that were spoken over people's lives. People went away last weekend encouraged. They went away edified. They went away, some with strong words, and comforted. And so I encourage us to allow God to continue to speak to us. So let me give a couple of points here about from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, back there. He says this, do not despise. How do you despise something What does that mean to despise something? We say, don't despise prophecy. Doesn't mean you, you go ahead.
It means not taking it seriously and yeah. not trying to incorporate it into your life. I mean, it may not be for right now, but you take it seriously, and even if it means putting it on the shelf for a while, you're still going to re-examine it periodically because it's a word from God.
Amen. It's good. You're right. You agree with me. No. That's very good. Thank you.
If you have a banana, you only throw away the peel. You eat the banana, but there may be some peel that you can't, that doesn't apply to you. So what do? You just throw that away. Forget about that. And eat the banana and be strengthened and encouraged.
It's good. You see, the voice of the seniors. We need them. Here's mine, and it's not only fresh with me. To show one's attitude or manner of treatment that an entity has no merit or no worth. It's to treat it lightly. It's like you said. It's to have no use for something as being beneath one's consideration. And that if you're really negative, it means to reject it disdainfully, to despise it. But I'd say most of us are along the lines of not really giving it the value that it should have. Not really taking the time to listen to a recording and write it down. I could tell you prophecies that I received in 3CI about 15 years ago. I could tell you word for word. I can tell you the ones that God spoke to me in England with the Forestown Church as we're moving here. I could tell you words back in 1997. Let me tell you one. I want to encourage the prophetic, and I want us to exercise it. I want us to live in it, some of it, some of the now word of God, some of the reality that God speaks to us. So I'll go back 20 years. But we're at a pastor's camp down in Red Deer, and I've shared this to some of you, with you. I don't know where I've shared it, but we're in a pastor's camp. We just moved to South Africa. There's all kinds of things going on. When we were in Tanzania, finances was never an issue. God was so faithful. Tanzania had a lot of other problems, health problems, social problems. You couldn't buy anything. You couldn't. There was just a really tough season after the war with Idi Amin and all of those things. We moved to South Africa. God's called us. All of that is prophetic as well. So anyhow, I'm at this pastor's camp in Red Deer and all kinds of ministries going on. And I know my circumstances. I know my battles. No one else does. And we're in the service and it's beautiful and God's speaking and pastors are praying. And it's over and I walk out and I'm standing out in front of the tabernacle at Sylvan Lake and minding my own business. It wasn't like we're having glorious worship times. And a prophet walks out. One of the ones who is recognized at the time, was part of the ministry team, walks out and he's talking with people. It's just as casual as Gerda talking this morning. And he walks by. It was like John when he said, oh, just let me just take care of you, Ryan. There's a call in your life, evangelism, preaching. You know what I mean? Like that. That's straightforward. Leonard. December. You'll never have to worry about your finances ever again. I'm like, cool. This was July. It's like you said, you hide it in your heart. Mary hid the word in her heart. She didn't despise the word, but it's not like you begin to worship that and try to make it happen, start looking around, where's the money coming from? It was like I forgot about it, but I hid it in my heart. We're moved back to South Africa, we're carrying on, and December of that month, I could take a long time to explain what happened. Never since has that been an issue, and it will ever be an issue. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, trusting God, what He said. And it's the truth until today. I've shared about Lori being healed by a word when she was pregnant with Kyle. And we had a prophetic ministry visitor from America. They were in Tanzania and she's she's just in our house having coffee and just casually talking. I said, oh, it looks like you have trouble with your circulation. Let me just take care of that. There it is. Yeah, there's the blood coming. Yeah, her face turns pink. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And by the way, the child in your stomach is called and will cause many, many, many people to laugh. And I could tell you hours about Kyle's life and the other things. And so what I'm saying to you, do not despise, do not make little of prophecy. And sometimes prophecy comes in the form of prayer, prophetic prayer. Sometimes it'll come through preaching. And you go beyond just teaching something out of the Bible, and it's God speaking to your heart about some particular thing. Do not despise that. And the second thing is test it. Test it. That's okay. It's part of what you say. You put it on the shelf. You throw away banana peel. You line it up with God's word. You line it up with reality. You say, okay. You know, I've seen lots of false prophets, lots of false prophecy stuff in my life that I'm like, okay, if that's of God, someday I'll put it on the shelf and I'll leave it. And that's okay. I've had people trying to fulfill prophecy. Somebody's told them, you know what, you're going to write a book, you're going to own a car dealership. You know, good, I don't know, who am I to judge? But then I see these people just sweating for 20 years trying to own a car dealership. That's not God. That's not how God works. He can, but I'm telling you, you'll probably forget about a car dealership and one day you'll inherit one if God's in it. Or you'll start selling cars and the first 7 will turn into 20 and whatever. Like, that's just how God works when it comes to the ministry of the prophetic. It's a mystery. It's God's spirit speaking through a human. Some things that God only knows and we don't. And you can't study it, and you can't say, okay, I'm getting ready for Sunday morning here. I wonder what words I could get for it. No, it's you've already lost it. God will speak to your heart. He'll drop things in your heart. As you mature, there's less of you and more of God. That's where I was trying to get at when you're talking about going deeper into the prophetic. You know, a newborn babe in Christ can prophesy because the Holy Spirit administers that through them. They come with a word and it's like, wow. And sometimes it happens more often because they're just open to the Spirit of God. But as you mature, there should be less of you and more of God. And as you walk into an office of the prophetic and of the prophet and minister and live in that, there should be much less of you and much more of God. That's when you can get into revelation, revealing things and giving direction and some pretty strong words and things. And that's why I'm saying, as a gift of prophecy to the church, let's stay with the edification, the comfort, the encouraging one another, exhorting one another, and saying, come, let's keep going. Let's keep walking with God. That's our heart. Amen? And so, we want to encourage it. We'll probably, in the next while, you know, I'm saying so many things about next year that's going on, but we're going to revive again our preachers forum. We're going to invite folk to come. We're going to meet. It's going to cost you if you want to be part of a preachers forum. We'll have a prophetic team. We'll, you know, that sounds all spooky too, but we will encourage that. We'll be intentional with how the prophetic works and we'll speak into it. We'll teach into it. We'll encourage it. And we'll have to also guide it along. We'll have to minister it because we have a group of people in the public and we'll want to do it well and do it with God's blessing on it. Is that okay? Are you with me? I'm putting you all to sleep. Good. I appreciate that. He says this, 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. So you test the spirits. It's not a little spirit sitting here, but it's the mindset. It's the worldview. It's the attitude. What's the teaching behind what's being said? So we test that. As we sit and listen to John on last weekend's share, that's what's going through our head. What's the attitude? What's the mindset? What's the worldview? What's the teaching? Yes, this is God. And I said it earlier, when it sparks in someone, it's like... The whole church is like, yes, that's God speaking. He's speaking. I better listen. And I'm praising, and I saw people weeping all around Keith on Friday night. Keith was here because we agreed. And you'd think that I set John up or something. I just love it when God speaks. Speaks to Jack. Speaks to Trish up on the piano. We could spend the whole morning talking about it. And I just want to encourage you that we as believers, we carry that as spirit-filled people of God. And we want to exercise it. We want to encourage it. We want to believe God for it more. And we want to administer it well. So that it builds up the church for the strengthening of the church. And so if I've spent too much time kind of just explaining, I want us to have a good foundation of how we minister the prophetic in the church and we allow God to move in a way. You know, John was saying to us leaders later, he said, you know, we've all gone through the seasons. We're used to put a microphone up and say it's an open mic. Okay, we're going to have prophecies now and everybody come and all hell breaks loose. Every kook from 100 miles around wants to come and say God said. No, we're not going to do that. You know, but as we mature and as we trust one another and as we walk in the things of God, and God's already done it and is doing it in this church. It's not like something brand new, but as leaders, we said we want to see that grow. Ministry time, Holy Spirit gifts, allowing God to have His way. Amen? So that's my prayer, my desire. And I got to end with this. He says, hold fast, lay claim to, take us. It's like, so you don't despise, you test it, and then you hold fast. It's like driving in a stake when you claim a gold mine. You drive in a stake and you claim it. So what is of God, what was spoken to you, which is of God, lay hold of it. Drive a stake in it. Take a stand on it. You know, I'm standing here this morning talking about Russell and Helen. Do we have all the details worked out? Of course not. But I'm putting a stake in the ground that's one of the confirmations for us. That's very simple. Not simple, but you know what I mean. It's like scary. But we say, we're going to trust God for this. And we're going to see it happen. And I'm saying to you and all of us, what do you need to lay hold of? What do you need to be determined and take a hold of and put a stake in and defend and you know, hold course? It's a nautical term. I got too much notes here, but it's like you're sailing on a sea and you just hold fast. You just keep the course. The winds will hit you. Stuff will happen. You might be surprised it's not fulfilled in one day. It might take 10 years. I remember Lori when we got married. Well, it wasn't when we got married. It was later when we felt called to Tanzania. I came back to the house up in Swan Hills. I said, you know, I think God's called us to Africa. And she starts crying. I've shared this before. I'm like, what are you crying for? It's just an idea. You know, it's like, this is too... Is this real? It's like, I think we're going to go to Africa. And she starts crying. She tells me this whole story that when she was a teenager, YC, which is whatever it's called now, but it was YC down, what was it called? Was it YC then or is it? Yeah, it was YC when it was small. Now what is it called? Is this? It's YC when it's big too. And she's at YC in Red Deer. And she has this prophetic picture, a dream, a vision of this whole, and I don't want to take the time to describe it, but it's Africa, and she describes this whole picture. It's like, that was when she was a teenager, and now I'm sitting there. It's like, God has His timing, and God has His way. You hold on to what He says. You believe Him. He's spoken a word about your healing. He's spoken a word about your family. He's spoken a word about your ministry. He's spoken a word about your life, your marriage, your health, whatever. Hold on to that. Drive a stake in the ground and say, I'm going to stand here. I'm going to believe what God says. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what circumstances say. I'm going to believe God. And I've said it many, many times. I'm going to believe God, what God has said on the mountaintop. even when I'm down in the valley. I want to remember what he said. Your children will be saved. I'm going to believe that. Your husband will come right. Your wife, whatever. You believe what God said. And you hold on to it. Let me end. I could talk about how we do it, what we do, how it's administered. I don't want to take time. We need a prophetic atmosphere. Come, musicians. The prophetic is going to push us from where we're comfortable into the things of God. That's one of the things that the prophetic does. It nudges us. It causes us to move out of our comfort zone, out of areas that we, you see, power. What has God got to nudge you out of? You know, I just saw you, Nick, walking by. Could you just come? Oh, you already got it on. Just come here, if you don't mind. Is Tracy here? Where is she? Okay, come. Every time I want to honor one of these life groups, half of them aren't here. But I heard some of the prophetic word that was spoken over you guys, and I was just rejoicing hearing it. But when I saw you walk up to the guitar today, we were at your life group on Thursday. I just want to honor you. You know, you guys were here from day one, sitting in the shag rug living room, and you're not the man you were then. Amen?
Amen.
God has done amazing things in your life. And Lori and I, when we drove away from life group, we were both like, wow, wow, wow. To hear you just take your group and lead it and speak life. And, you know, the renovation word and much more that was spoken. Just what he's done in you and what he wants you to do. I just speak that into you. Just drive a stake into that. The enemy will come, he will attack, he's a liar. And I see you and Tracy just ministering, caring, opening your home. Folks, it's miraculous. Can we never just get used to each other? Oh, this is just common. This is just whoever. This is a miracle of God's goodness. And so we just pray for you. Nick, thank you. Thank you for Nick and Tracy. Thank you for their family. Thank you for the faithfulness of God. And Lord, we've prayed for them so many times, and I thank you that you have answered our prayer, that you have restored and renovated, and you are working miracles in their life, but for a purpose. For a purpose, for greater things for God. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for the promises that are yet to be fulfilled. The calls of God, the blessings of God in their life and for their children. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Could say much, but I'm going to quit. I'm going to invite you to come. But folks, could I pray one thing and then you come? I got the mic, so you can't stop me anyhow. Father, I pray that each one of us sitting here today would just simply open our hearts and say, God, use me. Have your way in my life. Holy Spirit, come and speak that which no one else can speak. Do what no one else can do in my life. I open up my life to you, Holy Spirit. Speak to me and speak through me, I pray. And I pray that for everyone in this building, Lord. I pray for everyone that feels disqualified, everyone that is just taken out, everyone that has faced battles this week, everyone who's made mistakes, everyone who's compromised, Lord. I pray for every one of us that we would just take a stand and say, God, what you spoke, I'm going to hold on to. What you say, I'm going to do. What you give me to speak, I'm going to speak it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.